If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
You've been listening to King Dancer's Delight from Zach Gill's new album, Cocktail Yoga. I've developed quite the rapport with many of the artists on the jam band scene in Northern California. Many of them are just great musicians, but also great people who inspire all of us with their great music. Zach Gill's full-time gig is playing keyboards and other instruments with ALO, but he's also had a successful career putting out solo records. Plus, he's just a really great guy to talk to. Cocktail Yoga is his fourth such effort, plus the two EPs he's put out as well. Not to mention his work with Jack Johnson and Django. This dude is generally very busy, but with the pandemic and COVID-19, he's had some downtime. So when we caught up to talk about Cocktail Yoga, the conversation started when I asked what inspired the new record, aside from that downtime.
I mean, a lot of the songs were like little snippets that I'd started over the years, you know?
Right.
And then, I don't know, you know, I think it really was the time that sort of allowed it to happen, because it wasn't, the thing that's different about it than other releases is, like, I don't think when I started off making each track that I ever thought they would be things that I would share necessarily. But as time went on, they started getting kind of sculpted. I was like, oh, this is actually like a thing now. And I think that that's just a different process for me, at least. It feels like most of the time you're always like, oh, at some point this is going to be heard by people. And then, I mean, that moment came too, but for a lot of the process, it was not like that. It was just like a sweet exploratory space, you know.
Which leads me to my next obvious question, I think, is that how did you build these compositions? Was it kind of just like noodling around? How much of it was improv? How much did you, you know, write one piece, then start writing something else and come back to it? Like, talk to me a bit about that process.
Each one was pretty different, you know, like some of them were kind of like conceptual, there's one on there, I think it's called Walking Beneath Naked Half Moon. Yes. And it's like, I always love this song by Maurice Ravel. It's like kind of from the 1800s, but it's one melody that just kind of goes over the course of the entire song. And it's called Bolero, and it like builds and it gets really big and it just starts off very small. And so in my mind, I sort of was like, had that in my mind, although it's pretty different, but I was like, oh, you know, you can really just take one melody and keep adding stuff to it. And so it kind of became that. And then I think for King Dancer's Delight, I was definitely like, oh man, you know, the roads with delay on it. Like, that just was a fun thing to mess with, you know,
and it wins.
It wins every time, you know. And then, and I think for the first one, Threading the Needle, I was like, oh, you know, like, I think I'd heard Take Five again, the song, you know, and I was like, oh, I love grooves in five. And so I was just like, and then I never recorded anything on the computer in an odd time signature. And so I was like sort of unsure how I would even do that, you know, but I was like, oh, sure enough, you can just set it in there. And then suddenly it was like in 5/4. So I guess each one was sort of like a little bit of an experiment to see what would happen. And then kind of, you know, I think people might call that conceptual. I don't know.
Before we dig too deep, because I have some questions on some of the tracks, but the song you referenced was Walking Through Desert Beneath Naked Half Moon. And I was wondering, are we writing song titles or essays here? Because, and then the bigger question is, how do you even come up with names for these songs that don't necessarily have lyrics to them? They really are ideas in your head. And so how do you, it's obviously a sentiment that you're trying to express, and thus you've titled the song that way. Or am I overthinking it a little bit?
No, you're exactly there. I mean, and that's kind of what was fun about it too, because it was like, well, it's like at some point I knew that it was called Cocktail Yoga. So that gave me at least like a jumping off point where we're in like a loungy cocktail world, but it's also a little metaphysical and there's a physical element to it. And I think that one especially, I think the original title was Walking Through Desert with Naked Lady Beneath Half Moon. There was like a woman in there, and it was too long, and it really stuck out on the thing. And then I think my wife helped me condense it.
It's great.
I mean, the sentiment is still there.
You only have so much room on the back of the CD art or the album art, right, to get the titles down. So you have a character limit at some point.
Yeah, and it's funny too. because I always kind of think in terms of, like, in my mind, I'm always, there's a lot to the title sometimes, you know, because they help me organize the whatever the ideas are. But
right,
yeah, sometimes it's just too much when you look at it on a on a piece of paper. It seems great, and then you're like, ah, that's just, I can't do that.
Right, more syllables than the song has notes. Let's go back, and I'm going to go in order here and just riff some of my thoughts and sure. See if you agree or don't agree, or if I need to rethink this whole thing that is music interviews. King Dancer's Delight, the opening groove is very reminiscent, and I was trying to think, it's not Estimated Profit, but it is a Bobby Weir song.
Oh.
I think, at least, like, yeah. the opening, and you mentioned the sure. roads and the feedback on the roads.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on with a lot of switching from organ to clav to Fender, like, all of those things that I saw in the background when we started this conversation
yeah.
are brought to bear, and some great percussive parts, too. I mean, these aren't just, like, little pieces that you just sit down and how long does a song like King Dancer's Delight take to write or take to compose given all the pieces?
It took a while, you know, like, you know, I mean, years, but like, but then real quick at the end.
Right,
you know, because it's like I mean, it's like, it's got a lot of, like, it's got the vocoder in there, it's got tons of synth, I mean, it's got there's so much in it, and then there was so much you know, there's all, I think with the whole record there was always a lot of too much, and then pulling stuff out and then revealing another layer. I mean, it's very much, if it was to be like oil paintings, there's a lot of, like, stuff scratched all over it, and then you're like, oh no, that's too much, and then you pull layers back and you're like, oh, that's just right. And so I think it had a lot of that, you know, and because it wasn't the forms were, because it wasn't locked in, because it was just me, you know. So oftentimes the way a song would start was like, there'd be something, you know, providing, like, rhythm, like a drum machine or some keyboard, or at least and then it would, and sometimes that was in the back, like, there's a couple tracks where, like, I was playing along in the basic track to, like, a drum machine, and so that was the basic track, so it wasn't right. really set to a grid in, like, the proper way a lot of stuff's done these days, you know. It was a little more of a freewheeling approach.
I ask a lot of people of your generation who are pianists or play the organ, you know, people like Marco Benevento or Robert Walter, about what their favorite keyboard instrument is, because you all play Hammond at some point, you all play piano at some point, you all play clav, you all play Fender Rhodes. Mm-hmm. What for you is your most comfortable and favorite? I guess comfortable and favorite might be two different things, right? But
yeah.
for you, what is your favorite of the keyboard instruments to play?
You know, it's all I'm most comfortable at an acoustic piano.
Yeah.
And I think that's just where I started. And it's like that. But, you know, like, a lot of times, like, the melodica never disappoints me.
Right.
You know, every time I go to it, I'm like, oh man, it's not even plugged in. It's just cutting over everything. And I like the physicalness of it, but, you know, I feel like, I really admire both, like, Marco and Robert. They're, like, two of my favorite musicians, and I really admire their B3 playing. And I have organs here, and I'm always shy away from traditional B3 because, like, right. Those guys are so good at it. And that's a whole other thing. Although I have one here and I mess with it all the time. And but I feel like, you know, I think I'm most comfortable with piano, and then, like, a Rhodes after that, because that's one that I fell in love with early on. And then, but I actually like synthesizer world too. I think, like, I've come to be, like, one of those guys who just likes to plug it in. And I like it when you can't always find, when it's not totally set to, like, a normal thing, and it's just making a sound, and you got to kind of figure out it, like, wrangle it in to make music out of it. That's a good vibe for me.
We talked about Walking Through Desert Beneath Naked Half Moons already. Tripping in Georgia. So you're not in Georgia, you're on the West Coast. The birds are very pretty. That's a is that a sample or is that something that you recorded on your own? The birds.
I recorded those. Those are my that's my backyard in the spring.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
It's just such a pretty song, right? It's just a very pretty melodic tune that you can put on. A lot of these songs are kind of like that, that they would easily fit into a soundtrack for like a rom-com or like a drama. Like they all have sort of that cinematic feel to them.
Yeah.
Boomerang. One lyric, one word, boomerang. There are other lyrics in other places, but that one, you know, stood out for me. Is that a talk box or something else? That
it's a talk box. Yeah.
Good yeah. call. Right. Cause I couldn't figure out if it was like a guitar or keys with a wah or something. Are you speaking lyrics or are you just fooling around and just,
I'm just fooling around. I think there's a couple lyrics that maybe it may have popped out. I'm not sure they were meant to be, you know,
right.
First, you know, again, I got a talk box and I was like, let's take this baby for a ride and see what happens, you know.
But is the first instinct to do other, you know, when you have a talk box, is the first instinct to play other songs that have been made famous on talk box? Like, is that?
Well, yeah. And it was funny too, because I don't think I quite realized how they worked until right. I got one. You know, they take your signal and they run it into, you know, you run your instrument into it and your mouth sort of blocks the signal. And then it's coming out of this little tube. I thought it always got fed to a microphone, but it actually is coming out of this tube that's in your mouth. So you really feel the thing, like certain changes. You're like, whoa, I feel that like in my fillings and stuff.
Right.
and then it's coming out of it. It gets picked up by a microphone at that point, which is, I didn't realize, like, you know, you still, that's why they're singing there. You're almost singing into a microphone. It's
right.
But yeah, of course, you know, the first thing I did was try to do the Peter Frampton thing.
Yeah, show me the way, right.
But I'm not a good enough guitar player. And so, you know, the other thing is you got to find, you know, it takes some experimenting, you know, like the Rhodes sounds really good through the talk box. And then this little synth I have, I think, is what I ended up going with in the end. But
Salty Down Dog takes you to another place. And it's the accordion. I mean, that's sure. what it does, right? And it's either Tuscany or somewhere in somewhere in Italy, or 1920s Poland, because of the, like, you know, klezmer has.
Sure. Sure.
Does the accordion, in your estimation, just automatically take people to these places wherever they think of, you know?
Yeah, wherever their accordion.
Yeah, wherever their accordion heritage is, that's immediately the place they go. Like Fiddler on the Roof. Like for me, it's like Fiddler on the Roof, right? Like. Or Italy or whatever, that's one instrument that it like immediately transports you there. Right?
Yeah, it's a total portal to like the old world.
Right.
It's like a pre rock and roll, like old world portal. Just, you know, in the same way, like certain electric guitar, like Johnny B. Goode, you're like, oh, rock and roll, you know.
Right,
like,
right, right.
Accordions, like an accordion was so popular around the world. In the pre rock and roll era, you know, right. It's like everybody's like, oh, my grandpa, or my grandma, you know, and
right.
and it's such a, yeah, for me, I think I get Fiddler on the Roof too.
Right.
I was Tevye in high school.
I think we have a similar. Yeah. And I'm curious about the name of that song because it's Downward Dog, I guess, building off of that whole riffing off the whole yoga theme, but it's Salty Down Dog, and yet it doesn't feel that way to me anyway. It feels more like Fiddler on the Roof, but
yeah, totally.
Yeah. Cocktail Yoga, the title track on the song, is just sexy time. I mean, there's no other way to put it, right? I mean, this romance, is yeah, it's romance. It's getting it on before we get it on sort of situation. Are you cognizant? I mean, I know you're experimenting with sounds and playing around and stuff, but are you cognizant of what, I guess it evokes a certain emotion out of you, but are you cognizant or do you even think about the emotion that it might evoke out of the listener? Like, is that even part of it?
Sometimes, you know, but usually not till you get like a little distance from it.
Right.
You know, I don't think like, you know, I mean, sometimes you know right off the bat that like that's what you're going for, you know.
Right.
But I feel like with these, it came later. Like, oh, you're like after, you know, because if you spend so much time, like, and you don't even know what they are, it's like you're in a city in a country, and you've never been outside the walls of your room, you know. And
right.
Also, oh, wait a second. Oh yeah, people. It's like you're the first person to discover accordion, and then you're like, oh wait, people already have a reference for this.
Yeah.
You know. So But I think at some point, yeah.
Playground in your soul. The question is, do synths automatically make a song sound like it's from the 1980s? Like immediately?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. Right.
It's just, you know, fun, like, right?
Yeah. It's like, I mean, that's when the synth kind of became a. It crept in the 70s, and then by the 80s it was like, it was, I'm here to stay.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
And two other questions about that song. One, did you build a playground for the young lady in the song? And the second question is, did you cut her into the publishing? Because I mean, she is at the back end of the song fairly prominently.
Yeah. Features prominently. I know. Well, yeah. Yes and yes.
What was the one instrument that you accessed the most for this record? I mean, besides obviously the drum machine and drum machines and more generally, was there one either keyboard or something that you did that was your go-to for building these things out?
I mean, I feel like every track on there probably has acoustic piano in
right.
some capacity somewhere in there, even if it's not the prominent sound, you know, I feel like it's in there. But I definitely set out with each track to go keyboard. I mean, I think there's like piano on everything. There's probably a little bit of organ in there, a little bit of synth in there, a little bit of this thing, this Omnicord is in there, you know.
It's just a potpourri of fun stuff, right?
I mean, yeah, I got all these instruments here, and a lot of them don't get used that much, you know? And it's like, and some of them, it's like with keyboards, it's funny because they are so dated, a lot of them, you know? And so you end up with like, oh, I really like this one, you know, Lowry organ, you know, that I just really like this one song, you know? And it's just kind of, you know, I wouldn't take it on the road because you're like, it's good for one sound, you know?
Yeah.
But it's cool for something like this, you know?
So that brings us to the, speaking about being on the road, it brings us to the next obvious step in the conversation. And that is, what's happening? I mean, you can't tour, obviously. Are you just making music for yourself? Do you get a chance to jam with the ALO guys at all? Are you making music with them? Like what's, aside from this project, what's going on in your life right now?
Yeah, ALO's been actually like pretty busy. We're working on like what maybe is an album or an EP. It's hard to say, but we're sending tracks back and forth and they're sounding awesome. And I think, you know, we should have something coming out pretty soon, actually. And, you know, it's been like, I mean, I really miss performing for people, but I feel like actually it's been like lots of... It's been a good time to like catch up a little bit, you know, and I'm still confident that at some point it'll all start up again and it'll be great. But it does get scary when you think like, what is going to happen, you know? And it's like, and I really feel, you know, my friends who are like live music junkies, like it's their thing, their church, it's their thing they do. You know, whereas I'm still like content playing at home and I am getting together with the ALO guys and jam, like we're getting together this weekend and so there's been enough of that, but some, you know, of course it gets scary and weird sometimes like everybody's been experiencing, but, you know, I don't know, not as scary as, you know, like World War II or.
Yeah. Right. Right. The Titanic, know, whatever.
The Titanic. That was really scary.
is this just the beginning of more stuff for you? Like to compose music this way or to create music this way? Are we going to have Cocktail Yoga volume 2 and 3 down the road, or is this just one piece?
I could
time?
See it. It's hard to say. We'll see how this goes, but I think so, because I mean it's definitely something that's, you know, it's something I like to do.
Yeah.
It was something, I guess the biggest difference is it was something that I did it was just something I liked to do, you know, regardless of, because sometimes you're like, oh, we got to make an album, you know, or like the band, you know, the band needs to work, so we got to do this. And that's all awesome too. But this was a little different in that it was just like something I was doing regardless of whether or not anybody could hear it, you know.
I'm sure it spawned more ideas and more things that you've already put down that you are excited to get back to, right?
Absolutely. And it's like, for me, I got a lot of, I'm kind of like an idea guy, I guess, you know, I get like, and they're not all great ideas at all, but I got a lot of them.
Right.
And then sometimes I get sort of obsessed with one, you know, where you're like, cocktail yoga, that'd be cool, you know? And then like, until it comes to fruition, it's nice to sort of, now that cocktail yoga feels like it's come out into the world, and now it's like, oh God, I got this like maybe, you know, solo piano and voice record that I'm wearing, you know, just like other start to come, you know, and like, it's just like the channels are more open now, you know, too much stuff. It's weird, like too much creativity get like blocked almost by just the sheer amount of like, are you going to finish all these ideas, you know, because any one idea takes a lot of effort to finally get it to the, you know, where people can hear it and it's all put together. And, you know, it's like every episode, I'm sure.
Yeah. For sure. Dude, thanks so much for taking the time and thanks for making this record.
Oh, thank you. I love your show, man.
Like I said, like, it's just, it's so nice that it's not, you know, I'm stuck at home with COVID. It's really refreshing. send my best to the boys and give Lebo a big hug for me too when you see him this week.
Absolutely will.
All right. Dude, take care. All the best.
Thanks. Bye.
So great to talk with Zach about his new record, Cocktail Yoga, his overall musicianship, and the many instruments he plays. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. I know I did. For more on Zach Gill, visit zachgill.com. Before we leave you, let's listen to another track off of Cocktail Yoga. Here is Thread the Needle.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.